Second Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I count the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, so according to wisdom given unto him, as written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they the unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So Paul, is being recognized here as having an insight into the Savior. We delved into that. In the last session, we looked at what he did with the term elders. Are you there? Elders of Christ are people who are giving the revelation gifts, the utterance gifts, who bear good news. Elders of Christ are those who are sent by the Church of Christ. And elders of Christ primarily oversee the flock of Christ. So, what Paul has simply done, that's why we said the term fivefold ministry is very slippery and dangerous. Hope you remember that. There's no point reading chapter 4:11 Ephesians into 1 Corinthians 12:28 and reading. Don't read them into each other. Are you getting what I'm saying? Take them in their uniqueness, spot the differences, and look at the similarities. Is that clear? So generalization is not going to help understanding Paul's ministry gifts. It's better to be specific. What's he talking about here? We saw how he refers to himself as an apostle, then he refers to himself as an apostle, and he's talking two different things at each point. So always ask the question, what apostle, what prophet was he referring to at each time? So that's fine. Obviously, it does not in any way apportion some gifts of the Spirit to any office. He doesn't do that. It's not done by Paul at all. He says you should covet earnestly the best gift, 1 Corinthians 12:31. He tells the whole church to desire spiritual things, 1 Corinthians 4, particularly prophesying. All this work at the one and sells with divine service as real, 1 Corinthians 12:11. So he doesn't, there is nothing he says is for this person, for that person. And we have also said that there was nobody called a prophet, called an evangelist. And we said where Philip mentions it, I'm sorry, Luke is referring to Philip's Acts 8 experience. So, always study like that. Read carefully. Do not mix scenarios together and all that. So Paul also writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. From a child who have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise even unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. And then he said that's the essence of the study of the Scriptures, to be able to see the truth of God in Christ. We've done that with Israel, we've done that with the Spirit, we've done that with the Son, and so we're doing that with the ministry gifts. And Christ is the diakonios, and so we are the ministers in his ministry, we are the sons in his sonship. So now, having said that, you know, yesterday we looked at the head and the body. Remember that explanation? And so don't take it like so who is the hand, who is the leg? I said, come here, let me give you a knock. The body, therefore, will be the expression of the head, like the soma, that is the soma of the kephale. The soma, he expresses the head. So don't see it like your own physical body on its own. So what we're going to deal with in this session will now be this. I think it's clear from apostolic writings that all ministers, all believers mature into eldership, right? Is that clear? And so it shows you also that the work of ministry is not a hired job. You don't think you are hired for. Okay? So we want to, we've been sharing this part softly from the World Children's Conference teaching on Saturday and yesterday. I want to now expand a little bit, then try to find a closure. Paul describes what you can call the reward of ministers in two ways. So, can we see Paul, for example, or a Timothy, as that believer who grew responsibility over other believers. Right? And other elders. Very fine. So, that would be spiritual growth is what brings in leadership. Eldership. Correct? Alright. Now, watch this. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul is dealing with reward. And I'll tell you that in verse 17, I have my reward. The word reward is the word mistos in the Greek. M-I-S-T-H-O-S. M-I-S-T-H-O-S. Depending on how it is used, it's used for reward of work, it's used for salary. Matthew 5:12, reward. Matthew 5:46. You have a reward with your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 6:1. If you seek the Father in secret, you will be rewarded openly. Matthew 6:2, 6:5, 6:16. Matthew 5:12. Matthew 5:46. Matthew 6:1. Matthew 6:2. Matthew 6:5. Matthew 6:16. In Matthew 10:41, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man, you know, a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, when you say a prophet's reward, it will be result of work or compensation for work. Compensation for work. It's also, mistos is always attached to an activity, something that has been done. So when you say receive a prophet's reward, it will mean the ministry of the prophet will benefit the person. That's basically what Jesus is saying. Now, so because mistos is benefits of work. In John 4:36, he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, and both he that sows and he that reaps will rejoice together. Receive wages means the reward of work. Okay? Let's look at it in the negative sense. Acts 1:18. Which man, that is Judas, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity? That is, the iniquity is the work, the betrayal. The reward is the money they gave him. Okay? It was not hired. It was specific to what he has done. Just like the reaper. Just like those who seek the Lord privately. You know, it's always to work done. In Romans chapter 4, to think that works is a reward. But not record of grace, but of death. That is, it's been hold. So, compensation, remuneration can also be called the same thing. Remuneration, compensation. Don't forget, yesterday we spotted something. Jesus said, freely have you received, freely should you give. That means don't make a charge. However, when you go to a place, and if the place welcomes you, stay there and minister to them. Which means that you are not supposed to ask, but you are not supposed to refuse. It's a two-sided coin. Don't make a charge, but When they honor you by welcoming you to their home, stay there. This line has not been well drawn by many people. So in 1 Corinthians 3, before we go to Paul's use, let's do, okay, 1 Corinthians 3, let's see that word mistos. Verse 8. He that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 14. If a man's work abides, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So reward here will be used in the long term. You call it God's judgment of your service and labor. So 1 Corinthians 9. So first and foremost is that your work of ministry is rewarded by the Lord in your faithfulness at the end. That is headline. Okay? Always know that. And I think some people know this. So when you go and preach for them, because they want to give you something very small, we know we can never pay you for what you have. Who can pay a man for serving the Lord? Who can, you, the anointing cannot be measured. Yes! Okay. You bless us a lot. On behalf of the church, sir, just take it. You know, the way we are, we're just at a church building. And that. We'll just give you something. Yeah, thank you. And you have to pray from your heart. Okay, now where were we? You don't understand what I'm saying. You don't know what I'm thinking about. You don't get it at all. You have to pray from your heart. Or else you will sin. Hallelujah. So to me, he took money to a preacher. But there was somebody else, he prayed for the person more. And I said, well, preachers are human beings. That if two people offer you a job, and one is paying you 100,000, one 1 million, which one will you be excited about? I said, 1 million. It's the same thing. He said, eh? Okay. He said, but that's what I have. I said, no, it's not saying you go and bring something else. You're just happier with that other person. Okay. Marwa plus G Wagon. You can't say, no, something that makes me love my Marwa. No G Wagon. Are you well? Don't blame the preacher for being happy. Or happier, sorry. He will still pray, but you have to pray from his heart. Alright. Where are we again? 1 Corinthians 9, 17. Watch this. I'll start from 15. I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that I should be done to me. But it were better for me to die than any man should make my glory void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, a woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, it is because the gospel is committed to me. What is my reward then? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. That means when he was saying, those who charge use this power over you, he wasn't talking about preachers in verse 12. He couldn't have been talking about ministers. And says, that I may not use this power over you. For I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all that I may gain them all. So Paul is saying, my reward in ministry are lives. That's what he's saying. So this is the background of 27. I put my body under, which people have assumed to be appetite. It's not bad to think that way, but it's more than that. I bring it into subjection, a very strong word there, D-O-U-L-A-G-O-G-O, to N-G-O-G-O. It means to slave, to make your body a slave, your appetite. That after I preach unto others, I myself should be a castaway, a dokimos. A-G, dokimos means tested and proven. Adokimos will be alpha plus tested and proven. That means you are proven false or you are disqualified. Now, that means that the moment you make a charge for ministry, you are disqualified from that reward of the Lord. And of course, there are two things Paul has said here. Number one, you are disqualified. Number two, you hinder the gospel. So those who make a charge actually hinder the gospel. It hinders the gospel. Not those who receive money, those who make a charge. So the word mistos should be used for, it depends on what you're talking about at that material point. In James 5:4, it's used for reward of work, of behavior. James 5:4. No. For the work of ministry. That's the same thing. James 5:4. 2 Peter 2:13. Work of ministry there. Yeah. 2 Peter 2:13. Reward of unrighteousness. However, look at 1 Corinthians 9:15 again, to 18. In verse 18, it says, I make it without charge. I love you to look at that term. It's the word agapanos. A-G-A-P-A-N-O-S. Two words. Alpha. What's alpha again? Negative, right? Dapane. D-A-P-A-N-E. Dapane is used just once in Luke 14:28. Count the cost. The cost. So he's saying preaching the gospel without cost. A charge. I must say this. This appears to discourage paying salaries to pastors. But we'll find a way around this one. Just wait. Because if you are being, or if you are, there are some who say, well, you said that the family is, well, I leave that to your conscience. But so the point is that if you make a charge, and I know people that do that, they will tell you, if a preacher was invited to Botswana, a prominent world evangelist. And so they were so excited, they had put these posters around, they had agreed and all that. They went to the U.S. to invite him, so he had said he was coming. So by saying that, they had announced everywhere, everyone was excited. So they now call from the office of the man of God. Most of the times, when they do it, they don't do it directly. They came to have PAs and all that who do those dirty jobs. That'll pick before, just want to make the normal arrangements and all that. Well, as a customer, the ministry is because of honor, because blah, 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 blah. You want to put a deposit of $50,000. Then you can, the balance of $100,000 will be done at the end of the day. That is, what did you say? $50,000. Except for what? So that's just a speaking engagement. You're going to fuel his plane, and then he's coming, so. Guys, they tell him not to come again. So what do you mean by that? I said he's not coming again. What is he coming to say? How can you, a preacher, are you not ashamed? Ask them to pay money to your account. There's a preacher like that who asks, four people invited him to Nigeria, and he collected first class ticket from each of the churches. Yes. Those are people that, if they say in Jesus' name I pray, I won't say no. Say, away from the vessel. I heard you. I'm also a vessel. Because what you expose yourself to often, you start to believe it. If you listen to those people very well, see, I've been in music for a few years. If you hear some people very well, they are so expert at what they are doing that they will convince you to do it. They will convince you. And you know, except when you were born, they placed an eternal curse on you. You will like money. Do you understand? No, an eternal curse, that means it's not supposed to end. So, don't you do what will trigger what will put you in trouble. You know you will like money. Do you understand my point? I mean, I was preaching for some people at the time. I was pastoring for them. But I was preaching for them very first. So I told them I wasn't taking any honorariums. I mean, I took a vow to not take honorariums. And this was 24 years ago. So, and somebody, it was, I took a vow maybe on Thursday. The Sunday, they now gave me 7,000 naira. You know how much that was then? I think, Pujo, what do you call it? Naira to dollar then was, I think, 5 naira to a dollar. Yeah. So, I think Pujo was at 20,000 naira or something. Was I don't know. He now gave me that 7K. Ah! I first thought about when I get home, I decide what to do. After making my vow, I said, you will spend this money. So I just give it back immediately. And it was painful. I can't say it was cheerful. When I told all my guys, who were they couldn't explain it. Now, I now went to pick somewhere, you know, and I said, I want to go around and all that. So, I now rain, I now fell and I was in rain and all that. So, they now took me to one nice place. They gave me what to wear and all that. Fancy. It's serious. But, I bless them now. There's nothing wrong. You know why? You know, if I'd gone to one church in somewhere in Ajegunle where they'll just give you fruits, you know, that won't test your consecration. Don't tell me, Jesus. But when they give you what you don't have, you might not have. Then your consecration is tested. Yes! Look at that. Well, now, what would I do with this in God's holy name? You understand? So, the truth of the matter is that you don't make a charge. Don't make a charge. Ministry, it takes away what it is. Don't make a charge. Don't. Don't make a charge. I don't want to talk about other stronger things, you know, about is provide accommodation for you and all that. You know that in Jesus saying this, it's good for people to provide means of transportation. But you see, it's not in the Bible. You were sent. Go. Pay for your plane, if you like plane. Or else, stay at Jibo in the night. Yes, no? I can tell you, I've been preaching for a few years, I can tell you 80% of my tickets or 90% I paid for it, whether home or abroad. Because saying, you know, send my ticket money, send my. I know they invited you. Do you understand? Maybe we should just leave it. But this is a very, very. It's a very technical area. But the point is, don't make a charge. If they can't afford it, take care of it. After all, you should be working for a living. If you are not a Levite. Even Barnabas the Levite had land. Barnabas had land and house. Things have changed. Yes. So, he says, do not make a cost Ah, don't bring that man, no. It's expensive. I've heard that before. So when he's coming, he will bring 100 intercessors. I'm not talking, and they will not stay in one place. You feed them, you clothe them, you house them. We praise our thoughts. They come with his keyboardist. No. They are preaching the gospel with a charge. It's not fair. So those kind of things should be looked at very well. Alright? Look at Acts 8:21. Don't preach with a charge. Don't refuse honor and gifts. But don't preach with a charge. Don't place a monetary material value on your ministry. It has to be first class ticket. It has to be five star hotel. That is a charge. That's a charge. Don't place a charge. Acts 8:21. Look at that scenario of Simon the sorcerer. Look at verse 18. He brought money. I love the word money in the Greek. It's the word krima. This should interest you. The word krima is used in Mark 10:23 two times and Luke 18:24. Mark 10:23 two times, Luke 18:24. That says, okay, Acts 4:37 and Acts 24:26. It's actually used for riches. So, it's used for wealth. He brought wealth to them. The way it is in the Greek is that he approached them with it. It's very likely he made an offer. That, you know, guys, I have this property, so and so. I have this car. It's not that he didn't bring bags of money. He pointed them to wealth. So, he's not sowing seed, though. He's sowing forest. Now look, I will take care of you. I tell people that it is likely that the appearance of the apostles was not that of wealth. Because that's the reason why you can tell them, I'll make you wealthy. What he said basically was, I'll make you wealthy. Kramer. Give me this power, exousia, whether I lay hands upon. And look at how Peter responded. Your money, he uses the word agurion, A-R-G-U-R-I-O-N. Your money. No, I'm not joking. You know, if you're an enemy, I've told you before, there are some times that were watered down. It was watered down. Because it goes to the roots of the gospel. What was it? So it says your money. It's agurion, your silver, 20 times used. Why do you think Peter will now write in 1 Peter 1:18? So our redemption is not purchased by silver. No. Very strong. And he uses carries with you apolia in the Greek, a word used for eternal destruction. On top seeds. So you are now redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. The same term, agurion. Remember Acts 3:6. Silver and gold have I not. Such as I have, I give thee. It shows the value they put on the gospel. Apolia, A-P-O-L-E-I-A. Perish with you. Notice something again. Paul, Acts 20:33. I've coveted no man's silver and gold. I've not asked you for it. That's what he's saying. I've not asked you for money. I've coveted no man's silver and gold. It's so loud that you must hear it, even if you have earphones. Hear it. For thou art taught that the glory of God can be purchased.
The word purchase is the word paoma, P-A-O-M-A-I. Can be purchased. It was used for ownership. You cannot own it by money. So, whether it's salvation or ministry, provide either gold or silver or brass in your forces, because I mentioned that. You can't purchase it. Purchase with money, yeah. You can take possession with money. Luke 18:12, that's what references. Some you take possession of. Luke 21:19. Acts 1:18. What Judas did. Acts 1:18. Acts 22:28. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. I'll take it again. Matthew 10:9. Luke 18:12. Luke 21:19. Acts 1:18. Acts 22:28. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. So it can't be purchased. You can't own it by money. So Peter was that vehement. And I think that every sincere preacher of the gospel today should say exactly what Peter says. That's the way you should say it. 2 Peter 2. What does Peter say about these things? About reward. 2 Peter 2. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hard they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right man, have gone astray, following the will of Balaam. Watch this. The son of Bosor, who loved, verse 15, the wages of unrighteousness. Check Balaam's story in Numbers 22. And 22, you see, it's money. You are paid to do something. You know they were paying Balaam to prophesy. They are paid. Because it's the wages of unrighteousness. You mustn't make the gospel of charge. You don't do that. Look at Revelation 2. Watch again what John says from the Lord Jesus, no doubt. Verse 17. Because you have said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then he says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy thee of gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. White raiment, that thou may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness shall not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyes lid, that thou mayest see. So again, look at the strong voice against claims of material possession. Okay, chapter 2, verse 14. I have a few things against you, Revelation 2. Thou hast had there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balaam to cast his stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things of idols and to commit fornication. So the doctrine of Balaam again is what? Material or preaching for gain. Doctrine of Balaam. I think somebody else mentioned that. Jude 11. Went unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of corn. So see how Balaam is everywhere. And what is Balaam? Give me money to minister. That's what it is. 3 John, verse 6. Which have borne witness of their charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey for other good, thou shalt do well. Because for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. If you read the letters of all the apostles,
you will understand the strong stand they all have. Do not preach for money. Simple. Don't preach for money. And don't preach less because there's no money. Don't forget my story of being happy and happier. Yes, you must pray from your heart. It's a test of your consecration. And people have twisted some of the things they did. The concept of the apostles' feet. I told you what the word feet meant or means. The word feet has to do with authority. Okay? Or things in your control. When you dust your feet, it means you let go. Just like in Matthew 10. When they go accept you, you say, dust your feet. It doesn't mean that you now stand before them and remove your shoes. Don't worry. They will use you and your shoes. It's a figurative term that let go. And Paul and Barnabas did the same in Acts 14, I believe. Yep. Acts 14. Yeah, verse 51. So feet is subjection. They saw Mary at Jesus' feet. That means she was learning under him. He put all things under his feet. That is, it's under his control. Not that you look at his leg and see them there. Or his feet. I learned at the feet of Gamaliel, Acts 22, verse 3. Paul. So, when they brought things to the apostles' feet, it was to the apostles' oversight. In the same way, you come to church, and I think I love one church that does this a lot, Household of God. I saw them do it. They will ask me, call it Benevolent Sunday. You will come, and then you will bring what you want to give to the poor. You will do it directly. So they have a department that does it. So you bring it to the church. They will now supervise how it's given. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that the banner of God is preaching, you put lots of money. I mean, and very, very, very horrible things. And that's why a preacher must be very, I mean, Brother Hagin once had that happen in his camp meeting. I believe he didn't know. Because, I mean, the man just raised money and the entire place was full of money and all that. When he now corrected the man stopped following him. No money, it happens like this. People start doing all sorts of explanation. It's extreme. It's extreme. Of course, anything that doesn't have money is extreme. It's extreme. So, obviously, when you hear the apostles' feet, what it meant was, look at it in context. Acts. But for the poor, they had all things in common. They gave every man as he had need and all that. But Acts 4, verse 34. Neither was there any among you that lacked. That's the great grace. I think I've explained that to you. The great grace upon them was that there was nobody who lacked. The great grace is not miracle. The great grace is that they were able to give that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. Can you see that? So at the apostles' oversight, right? Are you sure? And distribution was made unto every man as he had need. So was the money for the apostles? Huh? No, we're not told. 37. Having sold land, brought it to the apostles' feet. So that was why when Ananias and Sapphira claimed that they sold the old thing, why do you have to lie? Was it not in your control? It was in your control. So basically, it's for distribution. Was it not in your power? That's what they asked him. Was it not your own? In verse 4 and 5. No, it was your own. Why do you have to lie? So basically, when you hear the apostles speak, it simply meant for the apostles to distribute. That was why when it was now not going around well, there was mumbling in chapter 6. So he now appointed other people who will now do that on their behalf. Is that very clear? So being brought to the apostles speak is not for the apostles. There is not one single evidence in the book of Acts that the apostles received things from people for themselves. Not one single evidence. In fact, when you read Acts 20, 33 to 35, and Acts 8, 18 to 21, you think they don't even want anything at all. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 2. So the work of ministry, the diaconos of God that we are in, is to do it without charge. The elders who are among you, 1 Peter 5, 1, I exhort, who am also an elder, witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God. That's the word pastor. Which among you, taking the oversight thereof, episcopos, not by constraint, but willingly. Look at what it means. You know, Paul said the same thing. Not compulsorily, but willingly. Not by constraint, but willingly. Now, pay attention. That word, weak constraint, is similar to when you are forced to do something. Similar to being employed to work. Anakakstos in the Greek. Not that way. A-N-A-G-K-A-S-T-O-S. Then he says, look at what he meant by willingly. Not of a fieldy looker. That's what he meant. The word fieldy looker is the word aiskrokados. A-I-S-C-H-R-O-K-R-D-O-S. A-I-S-C-H-R-O-K-R-D-O-S. Let me spell it again. A-I-S-C-H-R-O-K-E-R-D-O-S. A-I-S-C-H-R-O-K-E-R-D-O-S. It's used just once, but it has a synonym in Titus 1:7 and possibly 3:8. We're coming back to that one. Aiskrokedes. Rather than O-S, it has E-D-S. D-E-S. Now, the word kedis or kedos, K-R-D-O-S, is prophet. K-R-D-O-S is prophet. Gain. Philippians 2:1, to die is gain. All things are counted gain. Philippians 3:7, I counted dung. Titus 1:11. Titus 1:11. Whose mouth was this? Who survived old house, teaching things they ought not to, for people look at it. You have to be. You see, when a man begins to twist, I remember some Reverend George Adigo, he said to us in YMTS, John Wood Afternoon School. I was in university then, 1994. And he said, three, four, five, one of the 2 years, he said that when you see a ministry suddenly change their emphasis on money and begin to teach new things, he said, mark it. There's a project they want to do. Approve that thing 100%. In the project. Project. And when you see people, all of a sudden they are for, let's do Bible interpretation. They love that for eternal security, grace, gifts of the Spirit. When it comes to money, they say, no, don't go there. Those are people you should run away from. Because he said that they subvert all houses, teaching things they ought not to teach for money. You get the point. Saying things they ought not to be saying for filthy lucre. I shall pay this because of gain. So you will know, pay attention, by the doctrine. What's the emphasis? Look at the qualifications. So, Peter is saying to you that, can you see that? Peter is also saying that don't pastor people for profit. Don't make a charge. I say, the thin line now operates today where, okay, you run a Bible school and people have to pay for facilities and all that, maybe what they are going to use and stuff like that. Maybe, you know. So, a thin line is going to be drawn where you have to now check in your heart. Are they paying for your teaching? Or they are paying for the things that are being used? Are they paying for the book? Or they are paying for the message? It's a thin line. Because this should actually go deep down into everything we do. You know, you can ignore those things like your books, your teaching tapes, your
Bible school. You can ignore those things easily and think it's just about people to sow money on your feet. No. You have to now look at everything you are doing. Are we sure we are, you know, so you, it now comes to the question of your motive. Some will tell you, well, it's so that it will sustain the books. Yeah. Because I know, for example, Kentucky Ministries, the price of their books, oftentimes, is so that they are able to send books around some places free. I know of a shortage that they brought to Nigeria in the 80s about 200,000 books free. But when they got here, what happened? I didn't say anything. When they got here, it became a blessing. You know, so sometimes it could be, okay, let's subsidize here. We'll use this to help others. So really, it is the minister that can know in his heart what he's doing. So you don't say, this book is too clear. I'm making charge. No. You should be able to look at such a ministry and see what they're... For example, Reverend Prayer Center, when they gave me the cost, is highly subsidized. Highly subsidized. But one time that I saw one guy, he took Kentucky books and put it on the internet, and they were doing all this WhatsApp. And I called the guy. I said, I can get you arrested. He said, no, it's not the gospel. I said, you must be silly. The sales of these books is now used to train people around the world. So at that point, like I said, it is the minister that will now know, why am I doing this? Why is the price this? Why is this way? It's the minister that will know. So sometimes you don't throw a blanket judgment on anybody. Are you following what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I know people that their books, if they sell it in 5,000 in Nigeria, it goes to another nation free. So at that point, you know, it is usually the minister that will know that I'm not doing this for gain. Because the work of the ministry must have no gain to it at all, monetary wise. It's not for that. It's not business. Look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Titus 1:7, Titus 1:11. One of the qualifications of even being a shepherd is that you are not greedy for filthy lucre. You are not greedy for filthy lucre. It's a qualification. So we need to look at. So sometimes we have to look at even how you treat material things generally before we even make you a leader. People are emotional. Look at the story. I believe that Paul and the apostles drew from Elisha's story and Gehazi. I mean, if Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria, will come to you, you know what it means? And his seed is in a convoy. The seed is given to your ministry. So what's outside? The seed. And he says, tell him to turn back. I know somebody who told me this. He's one of my friends, but in a very, very, very weird way. He said, you know, Elisha came from a rich home. So it wasn't a temptation to him. I don't think so. You know, and he said, tell him to go. Then I was shocked. What he now said amazed me. He said, this is not the time to collect gifts. This is not the time. You know, it will be out of order if the guy is blessed to send something. But to bring something, do you understand? Do you get it? It will be out of it to be blessed. So, and this is exactly what he did. Yet he says, it's not the time. A minister should learn from that. There are some folks, when they want to give to you, say no. Even though you bless them, it may not be the time. Somebody walked in this church one time, I wanted to give us this, blah, 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 and I said no. I said, we'll take it from you. I said, this is your first time. Come again. Know what we are doing. And what he was going to give us was going to be, you know, what is it? Those are when you get in that way maker. Those songs are for those miracle worker. Those songs are not, they are for situations, you know. That is who you are. You know, I said no. Come again. I never came back again. Say come. Learn what we're doing. God, will you give us this kind of check? You know, there are some monies. I tell pastors, they are all here. Make sure that people that give you don't control you. You know, anybody that gives you money can control you. And they'll give you with thanksgiving. Thank you, sir. It's so a blessing. 10 million. I tell people, your life, 100 million. Pastor, sir, you are such a blessing. 1 billion. Then you can say your sins are forgiven. So, you must draw the line. Okay? So, in Philippians 3:18-19, he says, I warn you, even with tears, he calls some people enemies of the cross. So, you mind earthly things. Epigeios in the Greek, E-P-I-G-E-I-O-S. E-P-I-G-E-I-O-S. Things of the earth. That word is in John 3:12. 1 Corinthians 15:40 two times, 2 Corinthians 5:1, Philippians 2:10, James 3:15. So, critically, these men have said to you, do not charge. Don't charge for your ministry. Don't place a demand on people before you minister to them. That's what he's saying. Don't. Do it willingly. From a ready heart. Acts 20:33-34. You want to make money? Go and work. Not go and preach. You know, so funny, some people who stand up in the bus. I had to sit one guy down years ago. I was going to, I think, Calabar. So I sat him down. He finished preaching. I sat him down. He was going to go. I said, don't go yet. What do you do? Say, I'm an evangelist. A boss evangelist. I said, no. You are a rogue. There was nothing you said here. I said, you spent 4 minutes to talk about the Bible. And you use another 4 minutes to talk about offering, and you spend more time in the bus waiting for people to give than you used to preach. You are a rogue. Because I looked at my time. Years ago, I was in a service, and I had 20 naira, which was going to take me back to campus. The preacher preached, I can't forget. He preached for 40 minutes or 45 minutes. When the offering time came, he lectured us for over 1 hour. When it was done, I didn't know when I put my personal in the offering bank. I said, what's that? I had to walk back to school, and I was not telling myself, never again. So, from that point, when I want to give offering, I picked up my wristwatch, and I made a vow. If you talk more than 10 minutes, I'm not giving anything. So, what I say? Hallelujah, blessed time of attack and counting. 2 Corinthians 9, go on. 2 Corinthians 9, let us come, 10 minutes, no offering. You know, Acts 20:34, I've protected no man's silver and gold. Now, this is a typical minister's conference because the people there were elders. So, this is a minister's conference teaching. I've prevented no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourself know that good hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. and show you all things out of everybody you have to support the weak, and to remember the word of Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul is Paul suggesting or instructing? You ought. So that's what he said. Anyone who says that Paul made it like a choice is being dishonest. It's not a choice. It's an instruction. Show laboring. You want to support the weak. I have asked for no man's silver or gold or apparel. You know that these hands. So, in a minister's conference, he's teaching work ethic. Find something to do. Three things he says here: don't ask, don't make a charge for ministry. Number two, work for a living to take care of your needs. Number three, support others. Three fundamental principles of the Pauline revelation. Don't make a charge for ministry. Work for a living. Give to support others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12. And labor working with our own hands. Then we die, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer not. Working with our hands. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 18. I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, and I abuse not my power in the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. There's one place there that has been, you know, people normally go and look for one unclear text. They don't make you very clear. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 11. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you may be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel freely? I rob other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Watch what that means. Other churches gave to me. When I was present with you and wanted, I was charitable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And all things I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep. Now, if you read the background, Paul had a bitter experience here. He had been persecuted. He had been in jail. So he said, when I had this need, I didn't even take from you. It was Macedonia. I remember in Philippians 4, he acknowledged that Macedonian church, that when he was in need, he was talking about an after jail experience. There's nothing here that suggests that Paul was saying he was only in Corinth and not taking anything. It's not true. So he says here, the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Then it goes on and on, you know. Then in chapter 12, look at what he says in verse 14. Because the first time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I will seek not yours but you. Please mark that. I will seek not yours but you. For the children ought to lay up, not for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will gladly just spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, and less I be loved. So he's saying to them the way they received him. He's not saying because they are not giving money to him. No. No. He's talking about Macedonia, who communicated in his time of affliction. So Paul is not in any way bringing in preaching with charge. No, he's not saying that. And that narrative must not be twisted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, which we allow the grace to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which has a heart. Not at any time use reflection words, as you know, but a cloak of confession that God is witness. Let me tell you what that is. See, when you start telling believers, my rich God don't know it, it's flattering words. And you see, when you psych somebody to believe that it's a bomb that is not been there, it's an accident based somewhere to happen. It's not there. You are not there. You are this, you are that. It's to psych him so he forgets his account. He now thinks he has more than that, so he takes whatever he has and gives to you. You've only psyched him and hyped him so that he can give money to you. He is not rich. You are more than this. You are not more than this. You are this. Flattering words. Audacious practices. Don't call believers what they are not called in God's word. Or say, what's going on in this church now? We have a net breaking anointing. Your net will break forth. Fish. Shield.
What's the next two?
Now, let's not be doing any of you or yet of others that may be burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we're gentle among you. England is not stretched, not their children. Verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we'll not be tangible to any of you. That means they will see Paul go to work every day. We preach the gospel of God. We behave ourselves. The point is not, we are not doing it, you know. We are behaving. When a preacher is working, he's behaving himself. We behave ourselves. Look at chapter 4. Verse 11. And you stand in the court and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded. Look at verse 12. This is prosperity. So let's go. That you may walk honestly toward them and without, and that you may have lack nothing. How do you say you lack nothing? Walk with your hands. You need a gift so that you lack nothing. Walk with your hands so that you lack nothing. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 7. You yourself know how you want to follow us. But we behave that not ourselves only among you, we behave. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we worked with labor night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. See? These are clear apostolic instructions. In Philippians 4, like I said earlier, from verse 11 down to 19, Paul was talking about necessity. So what it means? Go and take our teaching on giving and receiving. A preacher must first be an example of giving, but he must not be proud to receive when he has a need. And that's exactly what Paul demonstrated. Jesus gave and he also received when he had a need. So teacher must remove from his sermons anything that looks like he's making a demand. 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money, talking to the preacher, is the root of all evil. Which some have coveted after they have erred from the message. He says, to preach that godliness is gain. So withdraw from such men. From verse 5 down to verse 6. Withdraw. Move away from them. And in that instance, he's talking about servants of Christ. Those who preach the doctrine is not a means to gain. But obviously, amongst other things, had his occupation, Acts 18, I've showed you that he was a tent maker, just like Priscilla and Aquila. That means you can have hopes in ministry that you do business together. Do they have rough times? I'm very sure. Do they have times that things didn't go smooth? I'm very sure. But they maintained the sanctity of what they were doing together in the work of the ministry. Look at the list of Paul's people that worked with Paul. In Romans 16:23, we had Erastus the chamberlain, like a minister of finance in a country, in a city. Romans 16:23. The chamberlain of the city. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Luke, who is a physician, in verse 11. You know, I had it mentioned them that forsook him to love the present world. Obviously, he left the work of ministry and was, you know, just focused on maybe his business. You had Mark, you had Alexander, the coppersmith. Of course, negatively said of, but the key thing was that he was a coppersmith. He had something he was doing for a living. The Venus, the lawyer. So there were people that were with Paul, who obviously had things they were doing for a living. Romans 16 again.
just with the least. Different people who labored with Paul, who had other things they were doing as well. And he gave the warning in Romans 16, verse 17. It says, mark them that cause divisions, contrary offenses, contrary to the things you have learned and avoid them. There are some that serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, what they want. They come to church because they have needs, they put it upon the church, and then they put it in their doctrine. It says, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the sinful. There's such strong warnings. We can't ignore it. So what then do we do to ministers of the gospel? Having said all of this, the minister must not make a charge. It's not that a minister must not receive gifts. He mustn't make a charge. He mustn't put a monetary value on what he's going to do. No. But what is now the response of those that he oversees? Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in word. I just look at that word very well. Let him that is taught in word communicate to him that teacheth. The word he uses there is very, very different. It's the word katecheo. K-A-T-E-C-H-O. It's the word to instruct orally. So, he's talking about people who have a direct teaching ministry over your life. Obviously, they are leadership. Katecheo can be seen in Luke 1:4, oral testimony. Luke 18:25, Priscilla and Aquila, how they handled Apollos. Acts 21:21, by my mouth. Acts 21:24. So that means it means those who instruct you, those who guide you. Romans 2:18 and 1 Corinthians 14:19. By my mouth, by my words. So those who are taught orally, let him communicate. The word communicate is the word koinonio. K-O-I-N-O-N-E-O. Koinonio. It means to share what is yours. The way it is like, well, if you don't have a house, take him into your house. If you don't have a car, share your car with him. Share what you have with those who teach you. Koinonio will be found in Romans 12:13. Romans 15:27. That is the church in Rome to the church in Jerusalem. Romans 12:13, I mentioned that. Philippians 4:15, what they did to Paul. To take what is yours and make it available to the other person. Of course, 1 Timothy 5:22, negatively, do not be a partaker of any man's sins. Hebrews 2:14, he became a partaker with us, that Jesus. He took what was passed on himself. 1 Peter 4:13, being a sharer of Christ's sufferings. And 2 John 1:11. So you take what is yours to give. It's a word used for partnership. That is, you now let the person have access to what belongs to you. So he's saying that, let him that is taught the word communicate to him that teaches all good things. That is, the one who is taught now shares what he has. If you notice, this is free will. To him that teaches, again, labor is involved, work is involved, persons are specific in all good things. In 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Diplos timis, that is double, is multiplied actually, and also it's used, there are two ways to look at it. It's multiplied times two literally, but also draws inference from the Old Testament example of the double honor given to the firstborn. It's actually a wage of somebody who is your leader, a wage of somebody who is ahead of you. So that is, look, if you are going to give to these people, don't give like you are giving to the poor. That's exactly how poor makes it. You're not giving to the poor like, oh, you're just helping the poor because he's in need. No, you are giving to somebody ahead of you, somebody who is, you know, over you in the Lord.
Because God says, but the laborer is worthy of his wages. And the word he uses here is the word egotis, that is to exert force. Is worthy action. It is due to him. So if somebody walks and labors over you to teach you the word, he says that you respond in honor. You respond in honor like someone who is ahead of you. Again, it's free will. Who are those who labor? 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, those who are over you, the Lord will teach you. A direct minister over your life. Hebrews 13, 17. So when you are going to do this, the 2 Corinthians 9 rule will apply from verse 6 to verse 13, 14, 15. Cheerful giving, you know, bountiful giving, Philippians 4 will also apply. No percentages are mentioned, but it shows that you must do it, you know, to show that the person is of high repute. Now, let us look at a few things. Obviously, the work of the ministry is not something you do with a charge. It's not a salaried work. However, it is that which is compensated by the Lord in rewarding your faithfulness. But we have instructions by Paul, examples by Jesus, that those that you teach, okay, can take care of your needs when you have them. But you must not be burdensome, such that it now becomes something that you are not doing anything to take care of your own needs. So whilst you are, first of all then, if the person is working as his needs met, why am I giving to him? You are not giving to him because he has his needs met. You are giving to him because he's laboring. That's very clear. That's the reason. He's laboring. So there's a place of meeting the needs of those who teach you. There's not a place of honor. Just a show of honor, gratitude, and to say, look, I appreciate what you are doing. And for that, God gives you the liberty on how you will go about it. So let's look at a few things that we close from there. What then is it, can a church pay its pastors allowances? It's tricky. But it's not out of place. Oh, let's just look at it. I mean, let's just try and take care of this and that. Yeah, they can, you know, but it must be well spelled out in, you know, very good ways. I'm very clear. I don't want to make any statement that is so categorical. In Luke 8:2-3, for example, there are people who took of their livelihood, we saw that yesterday, and gave to Jesus. You know, and Jesus himself took from others. In John 6, the boy with five loaves and two fish gave to him. In Mark 14, the woman, you know, who poured oil on his feet and all, that's all that. But at no point, you know, was he making a charge for ministry. So, we can meet the needs of those who teach us, but we should also honor them even if there's no need. However, is now on the part of the preacher. He must make no charge. He must not be burdensome. He must make his gospel free of such influences. So, the ministry gift of Paul is such that if we are learning from Paul and he has expounded the ministry gift to us, he is the only person who taught giving to ministers. None of the other ones did. He's the only one who did. And let us know that it is not a charge of ministry. It's honor and support for the minister of the gospel. It's not a tool to become the wealthiest person in the world. It's not a way to rank with businessmen. So it becomes very insulting when a preacher begins to show opulence and then based on what people give to him. Or then he begins to, you know, live large and makes a boast of it. I mean, many of the criticisms of churches are brought upon themselves are self-inflicted. I remember what Pastor Hagin said one time we had a meet, it was hosted by Rema, so I was privileged to be at the lunch table with him. And he said that when you're a preacher and people give you something, he said you'll be quiet. So when you are boasting, you are looking for trouble because you are living up people's benevolence. I think that's some wisdom, you know, that a preacher should just be saying of all things. And more so, if you're a preacher and people give you, should you not also give? You should also give. I remember I said this challenge to one of these preachers. I said, you are asking people that did you sow all and they get the 100-fold. Start with you. All your house. I don't give to your ministry.
give another ministry. Let's see whether that principle will work with you. You know, all those things are just commercial practices. So a preacher of the gospel should not make a charge. He shouldn't preach for somebody that gives him 1 million naira more than somebody that gives him 10,000 naira. You know, no. That should not be the basis where his service is available. His service is available to everybody, those who have and those who don't have. And those who receive of the ministry also should correspondingly honor the minister and his labor and his efforts. You know, not that they are paying to compensate him on behalf of the Lord, but just if an oxen walks, you don't muzzle it. If a soldier goes to war, he doesn't go with his own charges. If the priest lives at the altar, another. So there's nothing out of place. If you and I, you know, support those who give to us a ministry, who help us, who teach us, and guide us. So, in Paul's ministry gift, we have seen that Christ is the model. And if Christ is the model, we are the ministers in his ministry. And so we must reflect his character, we must reflect his pursuit, his message, and the way he carried out the work of the ministry. And there's no better time than now, you know, as a ministry, as a church, as we are advancing forcefully towards God's purpose and plan. You know, don't see the work of ministry like the replacement of your career. No. Your career actually is to work side by side with it and advance the cause of the gospel. Hope we're blessed.